Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we assemble ourselves here to worship you, we ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. We will be coming to the table of our Lord in but a few moments. Prepare us for that, Father. It is not merely a matter of ingesting a little bit of flour and juice, but feeding upon Jesus Christ, drawing our life from him. Help us to remember also that we are giving a confession of faith at that time. And may we confess in truth. Do not allow your word to return to you void, Father, but accomplish great things in our minds and lives this day. We pray this of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And please open your Bibles to the 22nd Psalm. Psalm 22, we're going to read all 31 verses. So let us give ear to our God's inerrant word. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, who inhabit the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All those who see me laugh to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted in Yahweh. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust when I was on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths as a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs surrounded me. The assembly of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Yahweh, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear Yahweh, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise Yahweh. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to Yahweh, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is Yahweh's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Apostles' Creed, page 845 in the back of your hymnals. We'll use this ancient confession to confess the faith that God has revealed to us in his word. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Let us give ear to God's inerrant word. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Let's bow our heads before him. Father, this prayer and curse of Paul's, may it also be ours. May this prayer be ours in the sense that this is what we would have be our attitude and our lifestyle. And may this curse fall upon us, Father, if this is not true of us. Mold us into the image of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross with the great joy of knowing what he would achieve. The joy, not of the pain and suffering, but the joy of redeeming a people for his own name. And not just a great mass of individuals, a faceless mass of humanity, but knowing the face and the name and the character of each individual for whom he died. We pray that when we leave here, we'll be more like him than when we entered. We pray that we really will have crucified the old man. And we really will glory in the cross of Christ, in the shame of his crucifixion. His shame will be our badge of glory. We pray for those who protect us, wearing our nation's uniforms, and here in our locality, whether the fireman's uniform or the police officer's uniform. Keep them safe, particularly those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and among them, Father, particularly those of the OPC, we would pray. And be with the chaplains who are godly men and hold the word of God in truth. And again, we would, among them, because they're our own, we would hold up the Reformed chaplains and particularly the OPC chaplains. But all of them, Father, all of them who preach the word of God in truth, give them fruit for their labors and help them to be there for the airmen and the soldiers and the sailors and the Marines who need help. And now, Father, speak to us through your word and prepare us to come to the table. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Both of my grandmothers were involved with Jehovah's Witnesses. My grandma Miller was, when she got saved and was baptized, told the JW she wouldn't be meeting with them anymore. And they were very put out with her. "We were ready to take you on the road." And that was news to her. My grandma Poe, my grandfather, who was a vulgar man, would say all kinds of vile things when the JWs showed up. He knew they were wrong, but of course he wasn't himself walking with God. But my grandma Poe, I inherited a large shelf of books from JWs from her. And one day they came to our door and I stupidly thrust the books at them. That just gave them more ammunition. But in the conversation I had at that time, I would wear a little cross, this really neat little wooden cross around my neck. And as is one of their little tricks, they said, "Well, you know, Christ didn't die on a cross. He died on a torture stake." And they would contend that what he died on was shaped like the letter I or just an upright stake. And frankly, my point then and now is the same. I don't care what it was shaped like. It could have been a K for all I care. Jesus Christ was nailed to a tree for me. That's what matters, not its shape. The problem is that they do that because they want to shake your confidence. They do that because they want to get the discussion off of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did and on to themselves. In preparing for an upcoming movie, I've been rereading the Da Vinci Code, trying to type up some notes and stuff. I want to read you a little piece from this vile book. Langdon was not so sure about that. The head of this key was not the traditional long-stemmed Christian cross, but rather was a square cross. I immediately thought of Surfer's Cross, with four arms of equal length, which predated Christianity by 1,500 years. This kind of cross carried none of the Christian connotations of crucifixion associated with the longer-stemmed Latin cross originated by Romans as a torture device. You do realize Romans did not invent crucifixion. Like a lot of other things, they got it from the Greeks. They just managed, like a lot of other things, to improve upon it. Langdon was always surprised how few Christians who gazed upon the crucifix realized their symbol's violent history was reflected in its very name. Cross and crucifix came from the Latin verb, which I'm not going to pronounce or try to pronounce, which means to torture. I don't know Latin enough to try to pronounce it. I know C's or K's, and other than that, forget it. It means to torture, and that's exactly what it was. Death by crucifixion was death by torture. And when Dan Brown writes that and has his character thinking of how few Christians know that, well, you know, Dan Brown obviously didn't spend a lot of time among evangelicals. We know that. Jesus Christ, if he had been crucified at another time and had simply been an ordinary human being, would have spent days, if not, in some cases, weeks on the cross. Because sometimes it took that long to die. It was death by torture. In polite Roman society, you never mentioned that verb or the cross. Because it was such a cruel and disgusting way to die. Only the dregs of society got that high honor. People who would go and watch people execute each other wouldn't use this word. They were too refined for it. But that's not true of Christians. Look again at what Paul wrote in verse 14. "God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me." Now, yeah, I know he wrote in Greek. And I know also that our English words are derived from Latin. I understand the difference. But still, see there. Cross and crucify. The object and the verb. What do we glorify in? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's our faith. That He suffered a death by torture that we worked for and earned. The wages of sin is death. We worked for it. We earned it. We ought to get paid. Thank God this is one pay day I don't have to worry about. This is one payday that will be passed because Jesus received the payment for me. And that's what I can glorify in. That's why Christians do use the cross as a symbol of our faith. Because it's on the cross of Christ that He was the Lamb of God. It was on the cross that He carried out at least part of His high priestly function in which He offered the lamb as a sacrifice for sin. He, of course, is the priest and the sacrifice at the same time. And it was that death by torture. As you heard when we read Psalm 22, obviously David was writing it with himself in mind, and yet, as the New Testament picks up, some of those phrases certainly do apply to Jesus Christ. Even the very first words are on His lips, though not in Hebrew, but in Aramaic. My God, why have You forsaken Me? He was surrounded by dogs, particularly when we remember that that was the favorite word of Jews for Gentiles, and He's surrounded by Roman soldiers. They did cast lots for His clothing. His bones were out of joint. It's a common effect from crucifixion. I think we also should look a little bit earlier in the same book. Chapter 2, verse 20. Where Paul says something the same. Or rather, gives us maybe the reason why. I glory, he says in verse 14, in the cross of Christ. Why? Because I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. People who are crucified die. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what this table is all about. We glory in the cross of Christ because the Son of God loved us and gave Himself for us. The bread and the wine or juice are representative of that broken body and that spilled blood. That's why, even though it is and will remain unleavened bread and grape juice, we're not feeding off of that, but off of Jesus Christ. And God forbid, as Paul says in that verse, verse 14, and it is both prayer and curse. God forbid that you and I should glory in anything else, but that God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. That Jesus Christ loved us enough to die on the cross, knowing He was dying for you and for me. Nothing else can give you legitimate self-esteem but those two facts. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before God. Father, how can we read those words that the Son of God gave Himself for me and be unmoved? Indeed, Father, that's a check on our walk with You. How hard is my heart? Can I read those words and they bounce off like water off a duck's back? Am I totally unaffected that I need to repent. Indeed, those words should bring me to repentance for my failure to walk with you as I ought. And indeed, Father, may Paul's words be my words and our words, that we would never glory in anything but this, that Christ was crucified for us. He died a violent death by torture because He loved us. And help us to proclaim that glorious news to the world around us. In His precious name we pray. Amen. From Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until His coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of Himself in His death. The physical elements representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of His sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with Him and with each other as members of His mystical body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God and call us to renewed consecration in gratitude for His salvation. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and without repentance live in any sin, not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this warning is not designed to keep the humble and contrite from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those of us who are free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper come as guilty and polluted sinners and without hope of eternal life, apart from the grace of God in Christ. We confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ. We base our hope of eternal life upon His perfect obedience and righteousness. We humbly resolve to deny ourselves, to crucify our old natures, and follow Christ as becomes those who bear His name. Let us therefore, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, examine our minds and hearts to determine whether such discernment is ours, to the end that we may partake to the glory of God and to our growth in the grace of Christ. So let's bow our heads. Father, we give You thanks for this bread, not primarily because of whatever nourishment we might receive from this small fragment, but no, we give You thanks for that which it is the sign and seal of, the body of Jesus Christ broken upon that tree, broken that we might be made whole, that as the prophet said, by His stripes we are healed. Bless to us, Father, this small portion of bread. Most importantly, bless to us the sacrifice of Christ. May we draw our life from Him. In His name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Father, we give You thanks for the body. And as we well know, from the time we were little people, when the body is broken, blood is spilled. The first time we fell and skinned a knee or mashed a finger, blood flowed. And as we grew up and we were taught in Sunday school or in church, we learned what Your word said, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And that the blood of bulls and goats, they don't save either. It takes the blood of the Son of God to wash us and make us clean. And so we give You thanks for this cup. Again, not because of the small quantity of nutrients contained, but because this cup is the sign and seal of the blood of Jesus Christ. And our life is in His blood. Nourish us, Father, with the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash us and make us clean. Renew in us that love which we had when we first came to know You through Your Son. In whose name we pray. Amen. Our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, He gave it to His disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for many. Drink ye all of it." Our Father, again, we give You thanks for the sacrifice of Your Son for us, the love that You've demonstrated and that He demonstrated. We ask, Father, that we would be able to respond with love to You and to Him. That we would give ourselves, it's all that we can give. That we would give ourselves to You. That we would walk with You and love You and glorify the One who bought us. In whose name we pray. Amen.